This is RSVNB Update, episode 336, recorded Friday, November 25th, 2011. Occupy RuneScape. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us for another episode of RSVNB Update. We welcome you to this episode. If you're American, I hope you managed to get here, because today is Black Friday and yesterday was your Thanksgiving, so there's plenty of reasons why you would not be here this weekend, but we'll discuss that in short order. Joining me this week are, first up is Mike, who is the co-owner of RSVNB. Not enough people know that for some reason, so we got to get him a little bit more exposure here.
I guess.
And, of course, King Kala, the other resident Canadian here.
Yes, it's the Canadian show this week.
Yes, a different Canadian show than the one I did in October.
Yeah. Say.
So. Yep. The Canadian senior show, because we're all a bunch of old farts here who basically have been playing RuneScape for many years, and, you know, we just laugh at some of the things they do.
Yeah, those silly teenagers.
Okay, so first up, RuneScape Revolution, or so they call it. This is the update that comprises the new website, the new game, and the new game interface. So let's start off with the website. If you head on over to runescape.com, you'll be greeted by a new splash page, and then once you figure out how to get beyond that splash page, you'll get to a new website. So let's just open this up, and what do you guys think?
It's pretty nice overall. I think the worst part about it is their font choices.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I was noticing that as well.
Yeah, the fonts really, you know, it's kind of easy to read. I think that the text on the news postings and whatnot, but the headings are kind of questionable. But if you head on over to the forums, that's where it really gets hard to read, especially the topic titles. That's what I found.
Especially the topic titles. Actually, they're different now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're slightly different now than they were before.
Oh, that's good.
Change them. They're readable now.
Oh, good. Congratulations there, Jagex. That's good.
Except, well, except capital W still look like capital M's.
How is that possible?
I'm not sure, but it's like two zeros right next to each other, and that's their W. But it looks almost the same as an M.
Okay. Also, with this website comes out the wiki. The RuneScape wiki. Do you guys...
The official RuneScape wiki. As
yes, the official RuneScape wiki we should mention.
Yeah,
as opposed
the
to the not call. Official.
Yeah, they call theirs the RuneScape wiki as well.
Yeah, the one that's... an actual wiki.
Well, this is an actual wiki. It is based on MediaWiki, so it is a wiki.
From the recent changes page, it looks like there's one edit per minute, basically.
That's not too bad for just getting started.
Yeah.
You must be a member, you must have 10 hours of game time, 5 quest points, and 100 total level to edit the wiki. So it's good that they just didn't let anybody out there on the internet edit this thing, because, you know, I think that would be a recipe for disaster. No pun intended there, of course, with the quest. But they have two types of pages, the ones who are Jagex approved and ones that are community powered. The community powered ones are the ones that we can edit. And of course, the Jagex ones are the ones that need to stay the same. So rules, that kind of thing. Anything that's kind of important that a player might need to know from Jagex that can't be twisted or bent in some absurd way. So, with this, they also remove the quest help system. So they are going to be forcing players here to write quest guides on the wiki.
the quest help system wasn't that useful anyways, wasn't it? Only for like some select quests?
Yeah, they never expanded it to all of them, and you could only get, I think, 2 hints per day. Which really wasn't that helpful when you think about it. It just points you in a direction different than your quest journal would in-game. So I think this is a good way to go moving forward for their knowledge database content. And, you know, I even found some content that I thought was long lost. For instance, Player's Gallery number one, they had long removed the link to that. And if you search for Player's Gallery, you will find that in the wiki. So that's good that that's visible now.
Are the developers' diaries on there as well, or do they have like separate section for those?
I haven't, you know, seen those. I was looking for those and I was not able to find them. Which is that's something I did notice, is because, you know, developer blog section, that's completely gone. So how are we supposed to find these now? Yes, they have a link on the developer diary forum to all of them, but that links back to a template that has the old website on it. And they're not on the new website anywhere, so I'm wondering if that was just an oversight that they forgot to port those over or not. So it would be nice to have those back, because you remember how before Summoning came out, they did all those developer diary things, and those have kind of disappeared since now.
Yeah, the really old ones are gone, or they were gone, but now they're just all gone, I guess.
Yep. So, I don't know, do you guys think the wiki will serve as a launching pad for a more coalesced community around the RuneScape website?
I think it'll take a long time for them to actually get it up to speed, because just searching through some terms that I would know, it's just basically a stub. It's like, this article is about this character or this monster, and edit here to add more information. Must be like what Wikipedia used to be like back in 2001 before they really got going.
Elvark has a page. Says she's combat level 83. Crandor, 100% drop. Elvark's head, 800 life points.
There's some items that have pages for them as well. There's some teams already setting up for like working on specific things.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So I think as long as they can have their group of people to work together on this, it'll be a good thing in the long run. And, you know, maybe I forgot what I was going to say. Anyways. Oh, I was going to say, maybe this will force fansites to innovate and not just come up with knowledge database rehashes, if you guys know what I mean. Because that's one thing in all of my fansite browsing that I found extremely annoying, is when you go to a different fansite and they have a guide for farming, it's the exact same guide that is on the RuneScape knowledge database.
Yeah. It's kind of pointless to do that.
Yes. So, you know, that's something we won't be doing when it comes time for our guide section. So, just keep that in mind.
Makes me wonder what the team behind the other RuneScape wiki that's been around for quite a while now, wonder how they feel about the whole thing of having an official one to compete with.
I think they're going to need to find a way to differentiate themselves from the Jagex wiki, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how you do that, because it's a wiki based on the same technology and basically to serve the same purpose of giving item information, quest help, and guides to locations. But what else can you do beyond that? I mean, RuneScape Wiki has their own calculators, which is something that sets them apart based on the wiki. I don't know if that would be possible with Jagex's wiki, but it's something to think about.
I think you can embed JavaScript in any wiki pages, can't you?
I don't know. I've never used MediaWiki.
I don't know. So should be possible. They allow file uploading, at least, on the Jagex wiki.
Well, that's good. So you can put up a picture of something, you know?
Yeah, you can put up images.
Also, this week with the new website, the high scores change happened. In that the free-to-play people are no longer on the high scores, so how does that make you feel, Mr. Resident Free-to-Play?
Mr. Resident Free-to-Play with 1 month of pay-to-play. I don't like it, and I'm betting a lot of other people don't like it either, because it's just taking... I can understand wanting to give members more content, but taking away free-to-play content is kind of a step in the wrong direction, I think. What they should do is have a separate high scores for just pay-to-play and then one for all. You could separate them out. That would be so much better, I think. But taking free-to-play out completely and to actually have to sign up just to be on the high scores, even if you've been a member previously... That kind of sucks, I think.
I think even the highest ranked people don't like the change, because they'd rather know like the exact number of like when they reach that skill level at 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Rather than having change around depending on who has pay to play at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it hurts us from a point of view of not being able to high score people on the high score system who are free to play anymore. So that's a bit unfortunate for them. And also, my whole theory on this is that this came back as something that the board of directors or somebody told the RuneScape team to do after the bot busting update. Because if you remember, they lost lots of members during the bot busting update. So they're probably wanting to find ways to encourage more people to subscribe now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of stuff like that, like the Dwarven Axe, Auras, and all those membership card promotions.
So let's just get more people subscribing and make high scores a members only feature. I mean, it makes sense from economics, but like you guys both said, the people in terms of the who are on the high scores really aren't going to like that idea. I mean, if I was going based on a solely money idea, I'd do that and a whole lot more. But I'm not in charge of the money side of things, so.
Not only that, but if you're also a free-to-play and you've been playing for quite a while, and you have lots of 99s, wouldn't you want your name to show up on the high scores and
have
all those 99s as just a pure free-to-play player, and to have known that you can get those high levels not in pay to play, and then to have it suddenly take away? How is that any enticing to get you to join pay to play if you haven't already done it, you know?
Yeah, and another thing with that I said last week is this moves free to play more from an alternate gaming style more into the realm of a demo. So if you were to start playing again, would you get members just to be on the high scores?
Not just to get on the high scores. That's not the reason why I would get members. I'd get it to access the bigger game world and to fight different monsters, do all the quests and stuff. I wouldn't do it just for the high scores, and I don't think anyone would do it for the high scores. So really, I see where they're going with this, trying to get people to subscribe. I just don't think it's going to work that much.
Okay. So is there anything else that we want to discuss about the website before we move on to the game interface? Overall, I think we're pretty happy with the way the website turned out this time.
Well, it's the events thing. Where do those come from?
I do not know. I don't even see the events thing. Oh, there it is on the right side.
Yeah, it appears to only be on the home page. You can't access from the menu.
You know, I don't know where these come from. Maybe they're from the events forum in their, because they all have, a few of them have quick find codes attached to them.
Hmm.
And there's a Barbarian Assault fortnightly, a clan snowball fight, Bright Lights, Kirstunel Citadel. So it's celebrating the year end of 2011. But yeah, I don't know where the events things come from. Advertisement, the Jagex events team's clan and individual can put up details on the events feed and place a location pin into the map. Does that mean if I log in, I can create an event if I manage to.
Doesn't appear
type,
that you can.
If I manage to type my password correctly. All right. So if you go to there and you click on events. Yeah, it doesn't look like you can.
So where are they coming from then?
Maybe only specific people have permission to add events.
Yeah, it could be. Or it could just be magic.
It is RuneScape.
Yeah.
Yep. So the events auto-magically appear. That's good.
Auto-magically, I like that.
Okay. Anything else about the website?
It looks a lot flashier, for sure. I'm not sure if it made it any easier to navigate, but...
No, it's relatively the same structure, I think. Just a graphical makeover.
Because to me, the easiest way to navigate through it is to scroll down to the bottom and look at the list of links down there. not the actual menu bars at the top, so...
That's true.
You know, it is fun moving your mouse between game info and community and watching them spring down and up.
Yeah, but it's not exactly good for usability. Like, you see the link you want before it finishes scrolling, you gotta wait for it to finish scrolling down.
It's not that bad. Anyways, so that's the new website, and it should be noted that they also have deeper integration of social on this website, Facebook and Twitter.
Oh yeah, you see sign in with Facebook everywhere on here. I wonder how many people actually use that.
I tested that.
Yeah.
It works. But I think that's about it. So this the graphical update to in game now. They overhauled it completely, but only for resizable and full screen modes. I think overall, it's a whole lot more shinier, more silver.
I wouldn't call it overhauled completely. It's still everything's still in the same place. It just looks a bit different.
Well, it turned the whole brown thing on its head that they've been doing since RuneScape 2.
Yeah.
But you know, this part of the update is the part that has people tearing their hair out.
Private chat arrow?
That's one reason. If you use split private chat like we do here, and you get a longer private message in, say, 40 characters, this big arrow thing to resize the chat box blocks part of the private message, and you need to click the private tab down there to see it, which is really annoying.
That's probably the most annoying thing about the update, though.
Yeah, you know...
that much.
But, you know, really, that should have been tested before it came out. I mean, it's like these people that make these updates are not all on the same page. And for people who remember, a month or so ago, I wrote an article on Informer about the history of the RuneScape user interface. And one of the biggest things that I mentioned in there that was a problem was the consistency in the way of doing things with relation to scroll bars and in-game windows. This update just makes that a whole lot worse because now there's, I think, an extra two styles of scroll bars that are used in-game, and, you know, it doesn't go any further to simplifying the interface as to whether an option is an option for your character or if it's an option for the player. Read more in that article. I'll put a link in the notes about that, about what player versus character options are. But, you know, like Mike said, it's just a change, basically, of how it looks. The structure is mainly the same and everything. And, you know, I don't know if the color scheme of it is something that is good for the future of the game, or if it's something we'll all get used to in the end. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I kind of like the brown better. It seems more like RuneScape-y.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, the current seems more futuristic. Like, doesn't belong to RuneScape.
Maybe they took the MechScape UI and gave it to RuneScape. But also, there's the little buttons at the bottom. For some reason, they decided it was necessary to make those a whole lot more detailed and brighter.
The icons for like inventory and those?
Yes, or, those. Or the those chat ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like.
I don't know. The icons are kind of nice.
I don't
mind. I don't mind the icons.
Okay, I don't like them. They're not. They just don't fit with the style of the game. I find. I mean, the for example, the stats icon looks like it's an icon out of an Excel spreadsheet, which doesn't fit with RuneScape in my view. So, I don't know. I mean, the interface is the interface, and I got this huge selection of screenshots in that article. I'll have to update it once they bring out a few more, because they said in the coming weeks and months they'll be making more changes to the interface. So,
they should retire fixed mode.
Yes, that's
just address all the complaints that people have with resizable into with fixed mode, or I don't know. But some people don't like the resizable mode, so they need to figure out what people don't like about it and address those things, and then just retire fixed mode.
Yes, because if they kill fixed mode off, it gets rid of the old RuneScape 2 style interface that some people like to use, and we can finally move forward with a different kind of interface. Maybe something that's a little bit more like WoW, and that you can put little in-game HUDs up on the screen and stuff, you know? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to have like two of those tab things open, like inventory and prayers, have them both open.
Exactly, because when I was fighting glaciers this past week, I thought, you know, I could really use the food backpack thing open at the same time as I'm changing prayers, so that would be something you could do with the interface like that.
They've tried to do that kind of where you can like turn on one set of prayers with the prayer button, but it's not really adequate when you have to switch between two different things.
Yep. Yeah. So there's your little discussion on what could happen with the RuneScape interface. And if you want the old brown style back, go play fixed window.
Which I think a lot of free-to-plays have to do anyways, so.
Oh, no, they can use resizable. They just can't use full screen.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's that. And just one more piece of news with this week's game update. Turkey Protest is a little Thanksgiving event. Jagex created a Thanksgiving event for the American Thanksgiving. Reportedly, it takes about 2 minutes to do, and there's not much to it. And since I'm not American, I'm abstaining from participating in this effort.
You should just do it. It takes 2 minutes, like I said.
No, I'm not going to give Jagex another person that completes this update, so next year they can make a bigger Thanksgiving update, when quite frankly they're a UK company, and they should only be focusing on UK holidays, if they so choose to. Like, you don't,
they don't just be, and it's up just, to them to do it, so...
I know, but just be... You shouldn't focus on the Americans, because there are some Americans out there who have this view that they're the center of the world, and by Jagex doing this, they are only reinforcing that view. And Jagex is a UK company, and really, I think they should take their own country into thought here.
One's other years, though.
So basically you're saying they should also get rid of the Halloween updates then?
Yes. Anything that's not UK-based. I mean, I think Guy Fawkes Day is a thing in February that's UK, isn't it?
February? It's November the 5th.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, why didn't we have an event for that then?
Because it's not really... There's not much you can do with it, really. You could slap on a mask, and that's about it.
Light some fireworks and send them flying in the air. And
well, there's already fireworks in the game. Just go get them.
Well, why don't Jagex encourage that then?
I don't know.
They're trying to make an event that's fun and that appeals to a wide base of people so that they, you know. I don't see why they would make it just specifically for a British holiday, because people in Britain aren't even their major fan base at this point.
But they are.
How many into percent something... of people are British? I don't think it's as much as you think it is.
I don't know. I'd say 50-50, maybe.
No, what, not 50, that much.
50% British and 50% other people?
Yes.
No.
I'd say closer to 10 or 15%.
I don't think it's that low. But point is that I just wish that they would focus on UK and what they want to do rather than pandering to other countries' beliefs.
What they want to do seems to be pandering to other countries' beliefs, as you say it, so I don't see...
Which I don't like.
out of all of the things that Jagex does, that's what's bugging you the most this week.
yes, this week. Aside from the little private chat scrolling thingy.
Okay, Shane. Point taken.
Well, somebody edited the notes. That's an interesting note. Anyways, that's it for main RuneScape updates this week. On to tweaks and fixes now. Already mentioned the high scores. Quest help system has been removed from the game. I don't know if anybody used that.
Probably not.
Leprechauns now store plant gears, up to 255 buckets, 5 scarecrows, and can deposit magic skittiers automatically if equipped. Now that's my favorite part of the week. You guys aren't overly excited about the leprechaun update?
Not so much.
It wasn't really a problem before. You could just store the buckets in your bank.
But now I have a reason to make compost that goes to more than 30, because you can only store 31 before, so you couldn't stockpile the compost. I just keep putting the stuff back in the inventory of the leprechaun.
It's good if you do a lot of farming, I suppose.
Yeah, I did like 10 herb farming runs yesterday.
I meant to check on which vines you could store at the herbalore habitat, but I forgot. But
yeah,
you can only store 30, so that's not very many. I know most of the stacks in my bank are more than 30.
I like this one. The drunken dwarf no longer appears inside bank booths at the Grand Exchange.
Oh, you're reading the... are you reading the release notes?
Yeah, the release notes. A few things in here. Every time I read them, it seems like there's one funny update that sounds like it shouldn't happen to begin with.
Yep, that's why I started putting those in. So,
One of the notes is a missing wall in the Tower of Lombridge has been replaced.
Yeah.
But apparently, behind the Lombridge Tower, there's, like, you could go out the back way.
Yeah.
There's a wall there now. But the door is still there as well. You just can't go through it.
You can't go through the door now?
So there's an extra wall now somewhere.
Huh. So there's two walls and a door that you can't go through. Huh.
That sounds like some crazy engineering teams there. Also, several boss respawn times have also been increased. They don't say which ones, though. And
increased or Farouk's decreased?
Tools increased.
So they take longer.
Boss respawn rates have been increased.
Oh, yeah. Rates, okay.
So does that mean...
Actually, yeah, does that mean... I don't know.
Does that mean they respawn the... If it's a rate,
well,
five
guess,
bosses
yeah,
per minute, and you
often.
Increase the rate, that'd be 10 bosses per minute. Yeah, there we go.
I wonder which bosses.
Yeah, they should have said that, shouldn't they?
There's also several, like a few other updates during the week. I wonder why they never do release notes for the secondary patches.
Yeah, I don't know. They should. They really should do that. Also, the dices have been removed from the game.
I assume they removed that skull, too. I forget what it's called.
Oh, the thing that acted like a magic eight ball kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they made it so that they didn't remove that entirely, but what they did with that was they made it so that only you see the result of it and you can't share it out to other people.
Hmm.
That's how they combated that one. So,
I wonder what they plan to do for flowers, the seal emote, and what, the Easter egg ring?
Yeah, I mean, you can't, like, how many of these things are you going to remove? People are going to find a way to gamble. I say just legalize gambling and make a profit off it.
Oh, don't tell me you think that how would they profit off of it unless they're
have Jagex's servers have Jagex's servers be the betting agent like the house and then just stack the odds in their favor, take money out of the game.
How is that?
But
in
it's
their
not
favor?
Really profit because they can just create any GP they want.
Well, no, it is kind of profit, because you imagine there's a fake little person sitting behind there, and that person, the casino's making money.
So, you're saying we should fake legalize gambling in the game so they could make a fake profit on it?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I don't see the point in that.
So it's called gambling, you know?
The only way they could do it is if they, like, made microtransactions out of it, and I really don't want those to touch the game.
Well, no, I mean, like, just use the GP that's in the game and have it be like a fake casino, and then have the casino make money for how much money they take off players.
It could be some sort of casino heist quest out of that, I'm sure.
Casino Royale. Anyways, enough of that. On to some anti-gold farming measures.
Speaking of anti-gold farming.
Yes, gold farming. So that's an issue that they had to address with botting. And they say that, you know, it's a sad fact that the vast majority of gold farming activity takes place in the free game, where it is possible to create disposable accounts that can be used to generate in-game money and set it on for illicit real-world trade in defiance of our rules. So they say they're going to decrease the effectiveness of this by a factor of 100 by making it so that new free-to-play accounts can only give away gold coins or items, or make a trade with an imbalance in the recipient's favor to a value of 25,000 coins per 24 hours. This limit also applies to drop trades.
I think it's a good change.
Yeah, and you know, they could have done this a long time ago, like back this summer when the whole thing was starting. Just do this for free to play. I don't see why they had to wait for the bot update for that. Also, new free to play accounts can make dual arena bets no greater than 25,000 coins per hour for 24 hours. And they're also making change to wilderness PvP, where noted items will only appear to the original carrier when dropped upon death, not the killer. This affects all accounts, not just one subject to the limitations above. So if you want an item to be safe when you go in the wilderness, just take it noted.
Well, you'd still have to go back to get it, though.
Yeah.
And does that include GP, I wonder? Because that's not noted.
Remember they made it a while back so that all stackable items like GP and large amounts of runes are automatically safe in the wilderness?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't
Anyways. Run
the world.
And they say that these limitations for free-to-play accounts will be in effect until that account subscribes to members. So could this be another way to get people to subscribe to members by just putting these limits in place?
I don't think that would encourage anyone to subscribe to members. Is someone going to subscribe to members just to give away money?
No, I mean, like, if a person is free to play, being honest, and they want a bigger trade limit, is that another reason to subscribe to members?
But it's not a bigger trade limit, really. It's just they can't give stuff away.
Yeah, but still, if you want to give stuff away, and if that's an issue for you, wouldn't you subscribe to members to be able to do that?
Yeah, but why would you subscribe to give away stuff?
I think what Shane's trying to say is that people like giving stuff away and that they might want to give away more, like during the Christmas season. But I don't think it would have that much of an impact, and I don't think that it would make people subscribe if they haven't already.
25K, that's a lot of money for a free-to-play.
Mm-hmm. Is it, really?
It is.
Even in this day and age?
Well, what can free-to-play get? The best resources they can get is Mithril and Swordfish.
And, I guess, but they could still use the Grand Exchange to flip some like treasure trail items or something.
I guess.
I don't know, but overall it's a good change, I think. Shall we move on to an announcement regarding their YouTube channel?
Sure, why not?
Yes. So they hit 100K subscribers on the YouTube channel, and they want you to meet 0.1% of them. So basically they asked people to send in a video saying that they're part of the 100,000, and then they combined them all into a mashup video of people saying that they're part of the 100,000. So this video is about 9 minutes long, and they said they wanted to include more people in it, but if they were to include everybody that sent something in, the video would have been over 2 hours long. I wonder if they made that video that was over 2 hours long.
Not sure.
But basically, I don't know. I missed the memo on this. I might have sent something in if I would have known, and nobody would have known it was me. Well, yeah.
So not.
My name is Nizarain, and I'm one of 100,000.
I'm 99 Fish C, and I'm part of the 100K.
Hey everyone, I'm Mitsan, and I'm one of 100,000.
Hi, my name is Barry, and I'm one of 100,000.
I'm Noah Zone, and I'm one of the 100,000.
And
that's just a sample of what's in that video.
Does it go on like that for the whole video?
Yes.
Okay. That isn't too enticing then.
I wonder why they don't give updates for like how many subscribers they have on RuneScape.
Yeah, that'd be nice,
like,
though, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be more relevant?
Yeah, they used to do that way back in the day, I think, like in 2003. But not anymore.
Like, why does it matter how many people are following them on YouTube?
Yeah, well, you know, some people are just overly concerned about their following counts on the internets.
Yeah.
So basically,
over 99% of the people aren't getting featured on this, so occupy RuneScape.
If you follow RuneScape on YouTube,
No, seriously, as soon as I saw this, that was the vibe I was getting. Just more heaps and praise on the 0.1%.
Oh, that's great. Okay, back on track now. So that's the 0.1% being featured, and we're not. So we're the 99%. We should start going to camp out in tents somewhere until we're featured and we get our demands met.
Yeah.
Or going.
Oh, wow.
Now that would be a good RuneScape event.
Yeah, I want... Let's see, what do I want? I want a grand exchange tax on all transactions over 10 million GP. Yeah. I want weekly subsidies if I bring in less than 500k GP. I want JAs to cover the cost of my runes. And I want free healing everywhere I go.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like Occupy Wall Street. They have far too many demands and not too many concise ones.
Oh, I just want to call it done right there, but we got one more RuneScape story to talk about. Quick poll, RuneFest 2012 location. So, they said they're getting lots of questions about RuneFest 2012. They say it's going to be their biggest and best RuneFest ever. The question is, where will it be? And they want a bit of community input into where it will be. They make a note that this poll is not binding. It's just going to be used to gauge interest. The options are New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, or London.
Well, you can already tell what Shane's opinion on that is from his earlier turkey thing.
One place that they've already been twice before, and three American cities.
Yep. My vote is going for London, because, quite frankly, I don't think that RuneFest would be as good if it was hosted in the U.S., because you have to keep in mind that JX will have to pay somebody and invest more money into sending somebody or a team over to live in the U.S. and set this thing up there, because you'd imagine they want to have hands-on people. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that I think the people who play RuneScape in the UK appreciate the whole aspect of it more than people in the US do. Because if you think about it, the people who are in the US were not around for the Middle Ages, whereas the people in the UK do ultimately have some kind of family blood running back to the Middle Ages. So,
wow. See, I was trying to agree with you up until that last one.
People appreciate RuneScape in the US. I'm not saying they don't, but I'm saying they don't. They won't appreciate the whole middle age theme aspect of it enough as they do in the UK. Because you know, if you go in the UK, you see that same kind of architecture everywhere you go. You don't see that in the US. That kind of thing. You know, that's kind of what I'm getting at with that.
History is only important unless it's over 500 years, guys.
And I'd also, third reason is that I think Jagex is a UK company, so they should just keep it to where they are. So I voted London. What do you guys say?
I voted London as well, just because, well, that's where they are, and they could spend or do a better job on it there.
Yeah, there you go. And not to mention New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago are three of the most expensive cities in the U.S. for hotels and whatnot. Even if it was in one of those cities, I don't know if I would pony up and go if
London
it was in New York.
Expensive? London is more expensive than all three of those.
But I'm just saying, New York is expensive, and so is L.A., and so is Chicago.
And so what's your point?
Well, my point is that I don't know if the majority of people would, assuming it was in New York, say Manhattan Island at some convention center there, I don't know if people would pay the large amount for a hotel to go to Manhattan for a three-day thing.
But they wouldn't pay to go to London for a three-day thing.
Well, no, I'm just saying that people in the U.S. who are closer, who might think of going, like, you know, there's a little line in the sand where it becomes, I'm not going for sure and I might go. I just think having it in a place like New York would kind of move that line closer to the New York side.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think a city I'd like to see it in the U.S. if they were to do it would be San Francisco or Seattle.
Those wouldn't really be any cheaper, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd be cheaper than New York.
Yeah, but most of the population is on the East Coast already.
So I guess people are going to New York, then.
Well, if they were from North America and they were going, it population wise, it would be a lot easier for a lot of them to get to New York than it would be to get to Seattle. Say,
I mean, and it's we also have closer a lot of for the JX people too.
Mm-hmm.
They could maybe.
I mean, it would be a lot closer for us if it was in Seattle. I mean, it's all about distance, really. I think if it was in Seattle, a lot of people in the Northwest and Western Canada would think about going. But I mean, there's not that many people in the Northwest and Western Canada compared to Eastern U.S. and Britain. So
yeah, that is true. I don't know. I mean, back when we were discussing RuneFest 2012 in our RuneFest episode, we said we had this feeling that, you know, maybe JX will do it in the U.S. And I think the idea we came up with is that, yeah, New York would be the city that they do it in on that episode. So that's partially why right now London is at 33%, New York 32%, Chicago 18%, and Los Angeles 17%. Vote for which one you want, but vote for London if you like what I've been saying.
Most gaming conventions do actually happen in and around LA, though.
Yeah, that is true. What if they were to do it in concert, like the day after E3 finished or something?
You wouldn't want it to happen like right after or right before, but in the same area. Who knows? Yeah, they could even open a stand at E3 or something if they want to get that much bigger, you know?
Yep. So, you never said what your choice was on this.
Because I was still trying to wrap my mind over the reasons for your choice. I agree, London would be the best place to have it, but not for the reasons you said.
I did say that it is close to them.
Yeah, and that's where I agreed with you. Not on the whole, you know, cultural dominance theory that you were going for.
All right, so that's it for RS updates this week. Please vote for London, as that's what this podcast, that is the opinion of this podcast.
Is that going to be a title?
No.
No, that title's actually going to be Occupy RuneScape. So, anyways, moving on to questions now. We got an audio question this week, one audio question from Leo, who is known as 99887.
Hello, hosts. Look at your notes. Now look at Skype. Now back to your notes and back to Skype. Unfortunately, the answer isn't in your notes, but if you were in RuneScape, what would you be doing? Look down. Back up. Ryu, you're in a dungeon with your favorite familiar. What's that in your hand? I have it. It's a rune crossbow for killing the monsters you hate. Look again. You're now shooting diamonds. Anything's possible when you're in RuneScape and not reality. Except for a horse.
So it's more ingenious the question there was, how do you, or what would you be doing if you were in RuneScape right now? I think that's the question, am I right?
I guess.
I guess so. The answer surely isn't in our show notes.
Nor is it on Skype.
Yeah. I've looked back and forth between the two quite a bit.
But I do use a rune crossbow sometimes with diamond bolts, so that part's accurate. And we don't have a horse, so that's accurate too.
No mounts.
If I was in RuneScape right now, I'd be herb farming.
Oh wow! How could we have guessed that at all, Mike?
Last night I got a magic seed back from a magic tree, so dungeoneering has finally paid off for me.
after how many months?
Yep, that's what I'd be doing. But long term, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in RuneScape next. So I think I might have some ideas on that next week. So think about that. Or I mean, think if you have any ideas about what you can do and send them in next week for me.
Or think about sending them in.
Yes, if you still like me, of course, after my whole tirade there twice. But either one of you, what do you guys
think? Most of our listeners are probably American.
Yeah. Not all Canadians are as xenophobic as Shane is.
Not xenophobic.
That was an interesting question.
Yeah.
So what would you guys be doing?
I'd be making potions and getting 11% of my secondaries back from dungeoneering.
Okay.
And what I would be doing is checking out all that they had updated since the last time I'd logged in for a serious amount of time.
Including that new user interface?
Yeah.
It's not a lickable interface.
I should have a look at it, though.
Yeah, you should.
I did look at the Grand Exchange. That was quite a bit different than from what I remember.
Yeah, that is good how they changed that. And, you know, back to the whole interface thing, I said lickable, and that's something that Apple coined, is that they want their interfaces to be lickable, as if that's how appetizing they are. So I don't think JGX succeeded with that. Well,
because
sweet.
Apple, right? It's an apple. You can lick an apple. Actually, licking apples doesn't taste very good until you, like, bite into it. Have you ever licked the skin of an apple?
It's no, but that's, tasteless. That's a pretty strange question to ask, so...
Not any stranger than Leo's.
No, but thank you, Leo, for that question. Kala, you want to read the next one?
Sure will. This question is from Zant Twilight. Dear Shane, Mike, and Kool-Aid Kula, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, a game I've been waiting for about 3 years to be released, was released this past Sunday. It is truly one of, if not the best game I've ever played. The one-to-one motion controls, the orchestrated music, and the rich story bring it together for a great game. With that, have any of you ever played a game from the Legend of Zelda series? If so, which? And what do you think of the series, etc.? Thank you for answering my question, and thank you for hosting this great podcast from Zant.
See, he's American, and he likes it. But my answer to both questions there is no.
There's a lot more than just two questions in there. What do you think of the series?
I don't know. I've never played it.
Okay.
I'll have to bring it over.
Well, is that on Game Boy or something?
It's on... Well, yeah, everything.
Okay.
But Skyward Sword is on Wii. I don't have Skyward Sword yet, but they'll bring you an older one. I've played...
It's okay, I don't have time for this. You can show me, but I'm not making any commitments.
I've only played the 3D ones, the Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess. And do you even know what Legend of Zelda is about, Shane?
No, not really, no.
Okay, you know Link from Super Smash Bros.?
Yes, yes.
He's the main character in Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, I don't know.
It's an adventure game, really. You go around fighting monsters, and you pick up certain treasures and solve puzzles and try to defeat Ganon, who is the big bad monster at the end of some games? I don't know. I know about Legend of Zelda, but I've actually never played a single one except for A Link to the Past, and that was a very short gameplay at a friend's house. But it was really fun, so if I had a Wii or any Nintendo console going dating back, I probably would have played it, but... They're fun games, though. I think Skyward Sword could have had better graphics. I was looking at some game demos of them. And,
yeah, unfortunately, it's on Wii, though, which lacks the hardware capabilities.
Yeah. I guess we do have to remember that they're running on, like, 5-year-old technology.
Well, even older.
Everybody is
like...
at this time.
Hmm?
Everybody is at this time. Every console.
Yeah. Well, yeah, except the Wii was already GIMPed when it came out. So.
Yeah, wasn't it the same hardware status as the GameCube or same capabilities?
Well, a little bit better than the GameCube. I was hoping they'd wait for the Wii U to come out before releasing the Zelda game.
Okay. Yeah,
the graphics capabilities are not that great. But it does look like a fun game, and I'll probably get it sometime.
Okay. So you guys both like the series, I guess?
Oh, the series is one of the best video game series. It's going back to the 80s now, so it's
very... Ocarina of Time was one of the best games on N64.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember that one. That was one of the ones they used to use to show off the capabilities of the N64, am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was a franchise. It's really only second to Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, well, that's good. And you know, I think that's what Nintendo always has going for them, are their franchises. Like Mario and, of course, this one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys have anything else on that, or should we move on? Because this is kind of your question.
Yeah, we can move on. I don't have anything else to say about it. It's a good question.
All right, Susan. Mm-hmm. Next one is from the German. Hello, everyone. German is back with another question. This week, I've been mining in the Living Rock Cavern for many hours, as I have been for the last 3 months. I'm collecting gold to get smithing up to do Devious Mines, and have had much time on my hand while I mine, so I pondered that I would like your opinion on. Remember Zezima? Everybody look him up. Used to look up to him back in the day, and now nobody even knows who is number one anymore. Who does the new RuneScape players look up to? Is it still Zezima? Danke, the German.
Yeah, who is number one? I don't know who is number one right now.
Suomi.
Huh.
Yeah, Suomi is number one currently.
Followed by Jake. I think the problem is they don't, like, the current high level people don't really have memorable names.
Yes.
Like,
and
like
you
really
know,
unique memorable names. Like the best one right now is Telmo Marques, but it's not the easiest to say.
Well, there's Elvis at number 5.
He still lives.
But, you know, I think part of the other side of the problem in this day and age, too, is that the number one player has changed so many times from when each skill came out since Zezima retired. Because you remember when runecrafting... Slayer and even Construction came out, Zezima fell behind for a few days, but eventually after he still retained the number one spot. Then after he quit, the whole top thing started to shake up and nobody could really keep track anymore. At least that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gertjars was another one that I remember that was number one for quite a long time before he quit.
Oh yeah,
I
remember that one.
Yeah.
And Chopper Mad.
Yeah, he was
second for a long time, I think.
Yes, I don't know. I don't particularly see people saying, "Oh, let's go find Suomi, or let's go inspire to be like this person." I don't think anybody has quite had the ability to set a legend like Zezima did.
Yeah, he's still pretty popular. Whenever they see him, take a screenshot of him.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the problems with the new high score system too. That you can't really easily see how the top people compare anymore. It doesn't show their total XP.
Uh-huh. Currently, Zezima is rank 30. So he's still pretty high, but there's an ample amount of people in front of him. So
it's because most of the stuff he's still just over level 99. Like Prayer, he's only at 15 million... summoning at 13.8.
Yeah, he's 2 billion XP behind.
That's quite the amount when you think about it. So, and, you know, I don't think people necessarily need to look up to somebody who's on the top high scores, because all these people are, of course, maxed. There's so many people now who are maxed. You remember way back in the day, when somebody was maxed, they would be on the top of the high scores, but that's not true anymore. So, I think everybody looks up to their own specific type of person, and it doesn't need to be somebody who is on the top 10 of the high scores, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the high scores was more relevant back before they released all the new skills and people actually weren't maxed. Like, even when Zezma wasn't maxed, it was nice to see which levels he got each day or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, that, you know, that went the way of the Dodo Bird with RuneScape 2, because they said RuneScape Classic was supposed to be very hard to level up, and it was. RuneScape 2 just made it progressively easier, and like you said, high scores have become less relevant for that. Unless, of course,
well,
you're
not
in
only
micro
that,
community.
Not only that, but there's so many more people than there was in Classic.
Yeah, and that's why they needed to apparently bump the high scores people. I mean, the free to play off the high scores, because there wasn't enough room, and they wanted to keep them fresh, as they said.
Yeah, that's.
You can't search for a particular rank on the high scores anymore, it seems.
Oh, that's too bad. That was like a very nice feature.
Yeah, you can't see who's like ranked the worst on the high scores, the 2 millionth one.
I still don't understand that phrase, trying to keep the high scores fresh. A high scores is an archive database. It's numbers and names. It's basically like burning 70% of the books in a library just to keep it fresh.
That's a good analogy.
Doesn't make sense to me. Just means that a whole bunch of information is not going to be there anymore.
Oh.
I don't understand their thinking anymore.
Well, you know, it's JX logic, right?
Yeah.
That's what we call a JXian move. Just like Apple has Jobsian moves.
Yeah, I think we just got Gerharded. They're getting good.
Okay. Are we done with that one? Or do we have anybody who we look up to? I don't.
Not in RuneScape. I don't think RuneScape is the best place to look for role models.
Yes, I would agree.
Or gamers in general, for that matter.
All right. Thank you, German. Oh, Mike, you want to read the next one?
All right. Dear hosts of RSBNB, when will the funny Trekkie be back on? And how do you all like your apple pies? Plain, very sweet, tart, etc. I hate it when people put raisins / sultanas in their apple pie. It's just not good old pie. Hope you have a good weekend. And that's from Moromska. I agree.
Okay.
Apple, or I mean, raisins are terrible.
They're good, I've never, save for raisin bran. Don't put them in pies.
Or cookies. That's really annoying. You think they're chocolate chip, but there's raisins in them.
Oh, yeah.
I did that once. Bought oatmeal, some oatmeal cookies I thought were oatmeal or oatmeal chocolate chip, but they were oatmeal raisin.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of ate around the raisins.
They're just not tasty as chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, well, they're dried up grapes.
Yeah.
So, I really don't care much about how the apple pie tastes. I guess I'd say sweet.
I like apple pies that are made from, that taste like they're made from actual apples and they have the slices in them.
Oh, yeah.
That makes it taste a lot better. And then put a bit of whipped cream or ice cream with it and it just tastes so good.
Well, I could have shipped you some. We made like 3 of them this year.
Oh yeah, you told me about all your apples that you had.
Yep. So.
I don't know. The previous owner of the cabin that we have up island decided that it was a great idea to plant apple trees in a place that is frequented by bears. So every year we've gone up there, and the trees are all slashed to hell from the bears trying to get at the apples. And so stupid of them. I don't know what they were thinking. But we've gotten apples a few times, and they taste pretty good. They're like little mini apples, though.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what kind of apples we have on our tree. They range from year to year. Sometimes they're sour, sometimes they're sweet. This year they were sweet.
Good pie apples, then.
Yeah, they are. But as for when Trekkie will be on, sometime in December, most likely.
When he stops being such a noob.
Oh, Trekkie.
Well, no, I was going to invite him to come this week, but he said he was on his laptop, and his laptop has this really weird problem where he uses the same microphone that he uses on his desktop, but his laptop picks up so much extra noise for some reason, and that's something we can't deal with here.
Maybe he just needs a new laptop, because mine doesn't seem to do that, does it?
No, but it could just be his microphone, too, because it's an analog mic.
Oh, yeah, that's probably it.
Anyways, I don't like store-bought apple pie. The only apple pie I eat is our homemade apple pie. So I'm with you there on that it has to be like kind of real slices of apples, you know, in the pie kind of thing.
I like store-bought apple pie better than store-bought pumpkin pie.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure I'd like I'd like homemade pumpkin pie too, but I just don't know how to make it.
It depends on what store you go to, I find. Some stores sell different pies, and different pies are better from different stores. But I like going out to the country to like the farmers markets, even though they tend to rip you off. It tastes a lot better.
Oh, you're so lucky there that you can do that.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyways.
So.
Thank you for that question, Maramska, and the show title is RSVNB Update. Alrighty. Kala, you want to read the last one?
Alright. Dear Shane, and I guess we can take this one as well. If the bill SOPA/PIPA passes, what are your thoughts on the people who would try to circumvent any and all censorship methods, even for someone like me who doesn't pirate? I can gladly say that I will be supporting groups such as Anonymous and EFF and everyone else who are fighting for internet freedom. Love the show, Fire Ring 401.
Do you guys want to go, or do you want to let me out of the cage on this one?
I think...
You go ahead, and then we'll dispute all your...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if people out there know this, but I am one of the few people that seems to support the SOPA copyright piracy censoring law in the U.S. For the simple reason that... there are what we call casual pirates, casual people who try to look up bad stuff, porn, child porn kind of thing, other illegal stuff. And, you know, I think that just the government having the ability to have a blacklist of websites that ISPs have to enforce is a good thing in that. I mean, I know there are casual pirates out there who aren't going to know how to get around such a thing. That's why I think it's a good thing. Also, the fact that this could be used for fighting terrorism. If a terrorist organization has their server hosted in the U.S., shut down all routes to that IP address and you're done. And anybody in the U.S. can't access it. So that's why I like the bill. And, you know, this all goes back to an article I wrote a year and a half ago about changing the internet and why the internet needs to change. And, it's 2011 now, and I like to use the phrase that it's not the wild, wild web anymore, and it can't be. There needs to be order on the internet. It can't just be a free-for-all like it used to be, in my view. But as for people who we'll try to circumvent this. You would be breaking the law, and, you know, if you're discovered doing that, you will be subject to whatever penalties the law says. And supporting groups like Anonymous, you really should think clearly on that, because Anonymous isn't all good. There's Anonymous branches that try to do good stuff, and then there's the Anonymous branch that will try and DDoS websites, which is something else that is completely illegal. So I don't know if you want to be associated with somebody like that, because if they were to DDoS, say, a U.S. government website, you could potentially call Anonymous a terrorist group, and I don't know if you want to be associated with a terrorist group.
All right.
I believe the bill is just for sites that are not in the U.S., basically, though, like, because they can already raid websites that are in the U.S.
Yeah, and then with this, they can just deny access to ones that aren't in the U.S. by putting in a record inside DNS. And, you know, people say that breaks DNS, but that's the way DNS is, and the way the DNS system works is not going to change.
Well, the problem with that, though, is that they're creating legislation that affects everywhere around the world. They're not just affecting in the U.S. Like, when you break DNS, then there's going to be alternate routes on DNS, and that effectively fractures the internet, because then different DNS servers can, like, have different lookups for the same name. So if someone sends a link to this website and then two different people click it, they could go to two different, completely different websites.
Well, that's a perfect reason for all countries who are first world to adopt something similar like this, and then all share off the same resources and use the same list.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, though, because everything's, all the DNS is controlled by the U.S., basically. They're U.S. companies. The root servers, well, there's root servers all over the world, but the company that runs them is U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I don't know. I see that as a good thing in this case.
So you're normally in favor of a monopoly.
But every country will start having their own root servers, and then how do they all coordinate with each other?
And DNS is broken, I guess. But I guess that will force people to come up with a plan that will enforce the being unable to access this list of websites.
But they're effectively going after, they're not going after the people who are causing the problems, because they don't have the jurisdiction. They're going after other companies and costing other companies money.
Like, so what? It's getting stuff off the internet.
Yeah, but the companies will want to do it as quick as possible. They don't care. They just want it done.
They want which done?
Like, they'll get an order from the government. They have 5 days to comply. That's what it says in the bill. And they have to take it down.
Uh-huh.
Well, they don't care. Like, I don't know. I forget where I was going with this. But basically, they're costing companies money, and they're mostly going after piracy, but piracy does not equal a lost sale.
Yes, but the whole idea behind it is what is the issue.
And what's the issue?
Stealing.
Yeah, but piracy doesn't equal a lost sale.
But there are people who do that. And yeah, you know, torrents can be used for good legal stuff and whatnot, but there are whole websites devoted to pirating stuff, which, you know, I don't know.
They're going after this at the wrong level. They shouldn't be messing with DNS.
Well, what should they be doing then?
Well, they should be trying to lobby other governments and other countries to go after these people. Like, you're punishing the user instead of the people who are running the websites.
But the thing is that the user, if you punish the user, they won't be able to get to it. Then if you take a significant chunk of those users away, another country does the same thing. There goes another chunk, another chunk, another chunk. Eventually, there's no users left. Once the majority of people have something like this.
Yeah, but it's still at the wrong level.
Well, I think they tried it the other way and it doesn't really work. They can't, they tried to get people to shut down websites in Sweden and whatnot, and that just doesn't work.
Well, they were able to take down the Pirate Bay, but yeah, then they moved to another country.
Exactly. So that's the whole idea behind this. Caller?
I'm quiet. I'm quiet because I'm letting you guys go at it. It's fun to hear you guys argue. what I think about this is that it seems like, once again, they're trying to make a law about something that they don't really know that much about.
It's too vague.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's far too vague, and they you know, America's really, really good at making good code names and good names for something that's you remember, you know, things like Operation Enduring Freedom. When it's not freedom, it's a war. This one is it's going after privacy and piracy, and those are things that everyone wants. Is, oh, people are stealing things, so I'm in support of this. They're basically trying to get the people that don't know very much about this to support it, whereas the ones that it would actually be hurting are the ones that are against it to begin with. So people that would pass this bill or are in favor of it are the ones that aren't going to be bothered by it to begin with.
The surefire way to get this thing passed is to add a clause that says it can be used to block child porn websites. Because who wouldn't block to get rid of child porn? Who wouldn't? Do you want to be seen supporting child porn?
But that's illegal.
Shane, are you basically saying that if you don't support this, then you support child porn?
No, I'm saying that yes, if they did have a clause in for that, you would be in favor of condoning it.
Every country would already take down servers that do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for servers that's you can't get to in the U.S.
Out of everything that happens on the internet, that is the biggest no-no that you can commit on the internet. Out of everything that's out there. And that's not what they're going for, really.
Well, I think I'm done unless there's a...
counter your thing on terrorist websites, especially for U.S. hosted terrorist websites. Like we said earlier, they could just move to a different country. Not only that, but they could also I don't see how blocking them is that important to begin with, out of all of the things that that terrorists do.
Well, if you have a terrorist website hosted in a different country, like, I don't know, pick a country where there might be somebody who would be able to get away with that, hosting content like that, and you have a little sleeper cell in the US and they're trying to access their website or something just for that, you put a block into there and they can't access that. So that's my view on that.
But what if it's a joke? What if the website's a joke? It just gets taken down.
I think that there's ways to tell whether something is actual and stuff. I mean, you could put up a website claiming to be a terrorist or something, but if you don't put actual stuff up there, that's been verified, I mean, it's not going to be deemed as real. And, you know, even if it was something you put up as a joke for terrorism, should you really be putting that kind of stuff up on the internet?
How about another thing that another scenario that you really haven't thought of. What if someone hacks a website and then posts objectionable stuff with the intention of getting the U.S. to block it, even though it's not your
website?
Well,
then that's a problem of the person that owns that server for not having it secure.
Even if
I'm confident
secure,
our
though.
Server is secure.
Even
yeah,
so,
you,
it's
you can
just
never,
inviting
you can
disaster.
Never account for bugs in software. Like, there's always bugs. No matter how much you do and try and keep on top of it, more bugs will be discovered and they can be exploited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
or
true.
Like a,
and, but,
like a spam bot even going onto forums and spamming this all over the place. That's justification for them to shut the website down, even though it was nothing to do with what the website is about, nothing to do with what the owners wanted, you know?
And another issue is copyright issues, like similar works, like large corporations can go after websites with this to have stuff taken down. Like,
then just don't post stuff that's copyrighted.
Well,
YouTube.
Try and think of our site. What is our site based on?
It's based on a game.
It's based
so
on RuneScape.
To do with that, if they
yeah,
wanted to do anything based on that game, could be taken down. We'd be left with nothing, basically.
But we have to assume that would be initiated by a request of Jagex.
And why not? And that's
and
not
what if
so
they
hard
do?
To, it, what, that's not so hard to believe. It's not.
Then
like
I guess they. Then I guess they kill fan sites off.
That might be for the better. They've already
initiated short-term pain for this, long-term gain for websites that are evil overall. And
no.
You know,
no.
Part of the other thing that really annoys me with this is people who are getting their knickers in a knot about websites like Facebook or Twitter just disappearing because of this. That won't happen. And,
no,
you know,
but,
if worse comes to worse with this law, change your government. You have elections, what, every 2 years you can change something?
Yeah, but Facebook and YouTube and all these sites will have to have teams dedicated to taking down stuff that's like reported all the time. Mm-hmm. When before they could just people could post anything.
So, if you're posting objectionable content, you shouldn't be posting it.
It depends on what you define as objectionable content.
Yeah,
you could just
like
be
what
saying,
if you're posting a link to like some music, like what if it's a link to YouTube or something.
And where does the line draw?
Then,
say you have a podcast and you're the host of it, and you decide that you really don't like American holidays. If you go on a rant about it, they could just block your website for it.
Then I don't want to be seen in the U.S.
but the problem is that you wouldn't be blocked in just the U.S. because the U.S. controls all the DNS.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, like
you'd be blocked everywhere.
You guys are a part of the group that's just a little too paranoid about this. Have some trust in the government.
Yeah, trust politicians. Where is that less? you're assuming that they're going to act in the spirit of the bill rather than what it actually says.
Oh, no, I'm not assuming that. I have websites that I would like to see removed with this, that they don't fit the bill of what needs to be removed.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Maybe I'm just living in my own little world of what the ideal world should be, and everybody else isn't.
I think you are, Shane. I think you. Yeah, I think you do actually have a little world where you go and everything's perfect to how you like it. But that's not how it happens. And
well, this is one step closer to that, in my view. I've said ever since I wrote that article that the government needs power to shut off websites. And if this can do it, that's good. And if other countries aren't going to do it, maybe somebody like the U.S. needs to do it. And if it's in DNS, oh well, that's how it happens.
Yep,
DNS is not the solution. And the time limits for sites removing stuff is way too small. It's only 5 days in the bill.
Well, you can remove something in 5 days.
Yeah, but if they don't remove it in 5 days, they get charged. Like AdSense, PayPal, I don't know what else.
Who watches the watchers?
Well, you know, that is a good point, because I am in that whole camp that I believe that you really should have nothing to fear about your government or being watched or anything, unless you're doing something wrong. I mean, I would gladly have every packet I send being watched.
In theory, that's true, but there are people, like individuals, who abuse their power.
And that's what the election is for. Every 2 years in the U.S., they throw out...
Yeah, but you don't elect the people who run these things. You just elect the people who make the laws.
And then if you get enough people behind your cause to do that, you lobby them and whatnot. You set up a group behind them.
Well, that's what people are doing now. They're lobbying for not having this passed.
Mm-hmm. And if people don't like it, they will set up an alternate group, and those people will become successful after. That's how it works.
Okay, let's just move on.
So we could keep going at this forever, couldn't we?
I think so. And it's not even one of our more controversial issues that we've discussed on the show.
Alrighty, on the same tune in tech news, Google is now censoring the Pirate Bay, ISIL hunt, 4shared, and more. Congratulations, Google. I applaud you for that.
So what, if you go into Google and type the Pirate Bay, it won't come up?
Apparently, that's what's supposed to happen.
Well, it does for me, so I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, maybe it's only Google US. Are you on .ca?
Yeah. But Google.com redirects to Google.ca, so...
Comes up for me on Google.com, but that's if you search the name directly. I don't know. Maybe if...
I don't know. Maybe this is just talking about removing certain results, you know? Because I know I was looking for reviews for a movie once or twice in the Google, and one of the links on there was to the Pirate Bay. That's what they're talking about.
I just search for the biggest pirating website, the Pirate Bay shows up as the fifth link down. So, even
so
just
that leads me to believe that it was it's just for websites that like remove the link. The index is to content in this website. So if you're searching for something, like a movie or something for a torrent or something, maybe then the Pirate Bay wouldn't appear, nor would ISO Hunt or the rest of these ones.
If you search download music and movies, Pirate Bay is the first result.
Well, that's not very effective censorship then, is it?
I just went Tron Torrent. ISO Hunt was the first. The Pirate Bay was the second. You could search for anything like on there, and it still comes up for me. So,
well, maybe it's not into effect yet. Then maybe this was just a plan.
Heck, I even did RSBnB torrent. ISO Hunt was first, 4shared was second, the Pirate Bay was third. Oh, that's funny, because it links to their search page, right?
Right. Maybe Google is just evading around it and not linking to direct results then?
Well, maybe it's only if your IP is in the US. I don't know. Because search from Google.com, it'll still give you the Canadian results if you're in Canada.
We need an American on the show.
Trucky.
Yeah, we should have got him on. But he was on his laptop. So, anyways. Like, this is what I'm talking about. I don't see why anybody should have any kind of problem with this kind of censorship. Like, I'm not talking about censorship where you remove people's whose views are different than yours. That's perfectly fine to be on the internet. But I'm talking about censorship that relates to the law being broken. In this case, piracy.
Yeah, but it's not always clear when it's broken, though. Like, who determines when it's broken? Like, is a remix of a song, is that, like,
or a cover.
Is that breaking copyright? Or a review of a game, if they show game video, is that breaking copyright?
I don't know. That's the problem with the current copyright laws, is that the laws don't say where the where the limits are. Most of them have been focused on music and movies, in that, like, you can't just duplicate and share the movies.
Well, like that stuff, it's supposed to be considered fair use, right? But like, that's not always the case on, like, YouTube, where videos get removed for just having the song, like, playing in the background on the stereo, like, sounding really bad.
Yeah, and you know, that is fair use, and they do have a claims thing for that. And I think most of the things that get removed on YouTube from that are done automatically.
Yeah.
So.
And, well, that would be a reason for not having this law, too. Like, well, I guess they wouldn't do that automatically, but you never know, like, how far it could go. Like, I don't know.
A snowball effect.
I don't know. Like, I think this is as good as you can get with that without redesigning the way the internet works, but we all know that's not going to happen. So, I don't know. I applaud Google for this, and, you know, there are, I guess they like to call themselves freedom fighters for this, people blocking this kind of stuff on Google, but really, that's not...
They're probably forced to.
Yeah. Well, they said they did it on their own.
Choose to do it.
Voluntarily.
That's what they'd warrant you to believe.
And it's not, like, as bad as blocking something as that the Chinese government would do. So.
Hmm.
Anyways. Moving on, Doom 3 is now open sourced.
Yay! News not about censorship.
Basically, Doom... The main source code of it was released, but they were not able to release the models with it because those were still owned by the company that initially developed Doom. So you have to get those on your own elsewhere.
And they also had to change something to do with shaders because Creative Labs had a patent on something. So shadows aren't as efficient as in the real game. But
you know, I think as long as the game, like, the core of the game and the engine is released open source, that's really all that matters. Because people aren't going to want to reuse the resources of Doom 3. They're going to want to make their own resources, providing they're using it to make a different game.
Well, yeah, it's actually quite significant that they've released it because, like, the last one they released was the Quake engine. And Valve's Source engine, that's based off the Quake engine. Mm-hmm. And so is the Call of Duty's engine. But I think Call of Duty's was off a licensed version before, like, after they open sourced it. I don't know. But it's still pretty significant.
Yep, yep. So anybody out there who wants to make a game, this would be something you would look into, using this kind of engine. More up to date than the Quake 3 engine. And, you know, so many games were based off the Quake 3 engine. There's just so many to count.
Yeah. But I guess it's not as significant as the Quake open source would be, because there's other engines out there now. I believe Unreal has a free one you can use. I don't know which one, though.
I think the Unreal engine is way more popular than the Quake one for games as well.
What game is that we're playing that uses the Unreal Engine? Was that Saints Row or Borderlands?
Take a look at that list.
Probably Borderlands, because Saints Row has their own engine. They use the same engine for Red Faction and Saints Row, I think.
Yeah, Borderlands is Unreal 3. Bulletstorm, Gears of War, Mass Effect, Mortal Kombat, Sanctum, Section 8. Just looking through.
You know what somebody should do? They should make a clone of Gears of War, just change everything up a bit, kind of like the Hedge Wars people did, and bring Gears of War to the PC and fix all its little glitches.
Well, first Gears of War was on PC.
Yeah, well, why didn't we get second?
I guess they decided it didn't sell enough or something.
BioShock, also on it. Brothers in Arms, Deus Ex. There's some pretty big names all on the Unreal Engine.
Yep. So that's the good news of the week, I guess, if you like open source stuff. Next up is something I want. I want one of these things, basically for augmented reality, discussing Terminator-style contact lenses. Basically what happens is in the future, once the technology is perfected, you put these in and they would display extra information right onto your eye.
Hmm.
So basically how it works right now, the center of the lens has a little LED on it, and that LED is a single pixel display that flashes on and off when it makes a signal. So very early stages, but still kind of laying the groundwork for future technology.
One day we will be able to watch TV in class covertly.
No, I was thinking more along the lines of using it to interact with your phone or mobile computer or something like that. Or maybe for drivers, your car will have something like this where you have this thing. It realizes you get in the car, then it'll automate the display and provide information of like where you're going and that kind of thing in the car. Or for pilots, you know, build the heads-up display right into the eye.
I don't think I could wear contacts, though.
Me neither. Not for me. I'll stick to my glasses.
And did you know that
I'd like
get
to see if
your
I
contact
could, but...
lodged like behind your eye?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
I
like
did not
the
know
idea
that.
Of, I didn't. I don't like the idea of putting anything near my eyes.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why I'll just have to wait for the retina implant where they actually replace my eye with something.
You might have to be waiting a little while for that. Laser eye surgery.
No, like actually remove the eye and replace it with a prosthetic that does all that and more.
Hmm. So like Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter universe.
Whatever that is.
Another reason you should read the books.
Or you just watch the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Then I'll get all the movies and I'll watch them in order from 1 to 7. I only saw the first two, but I think I need to watch the first two again.
The 8th one is out on DVD now, so you could do it now if you wanted.
Okay. Anybody up for a Harry Potter marathon?
I already did that like 3 months ago. I'm not going to do it again for another few years.
I haven't seen the last one yet.
Oh, it's a good one. The way they ended it off was kind of strange, but...
Does anyone die?
Does anyone die? everyone dies, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways,
not just a children's book, after all.
So I don't know how we got onto augmented reality, or from augmented reality to Harry Potter, but
the eye.
We were talking about things that we were wanting to become a reality.
Well, there's lots of things I'd like to become a reality, but you know, as we all said, I'm living in my own little world sometimes. Sometimes that's not possible.
I'm glad you said it before we did.
Well, you know, it's kind of like I think Steve Jobs kind of lived in his own little world too sometimes, wanting everybody to use a mouse with one button. And you know, he and I kind of shared the same cause of wanting to rid the internet of porn and dirty stuff. But that's just a little side note there. But as we all know with this and many other things this week, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Oh, God. I was just waiting for that to come up. All right. I think we've gone around full circle now.
Yes. It's just about time we start talking about the RS update again, isn't it?
Yeah.
How it just became like, you know, an update that, well, should have... happen, but you know, it's just the way Jagex does everything. But
more
anyways, on to skill of the month.
The more Jagex tries to change, the more it stays crappy. Skill of the month, November.
Alrighty.
Thieving. Smithing. What am I doing? I'm into last month now again. Huh. Oh, that was...
You're into next month.
I don't know. Oh, that's what I was referring to. Never mind. I'll just shut up right now.
The December skill of the month is smithing. So if you're at all interested in smithing, sign up for that. But as you did mention, November is thieving. And currently, Pris is still in the lead with 1.9 million experience. A substantial jump this week. In one day, by the looks of it. Second place is the Lion 777 with 939k. He just recently pulled ahead to maintain second. And third place is Rodsay with 843,000 experience.
And JBobMan7 in fourth, MinerGoo in fifth, and some guy called Mike in sixth place.
Oh, I forgot I entered.
And you took a big jump last night by the looks of it. Or yesterday. What were you doing?
I was training on the Monkey Knife Fighters.
You gained the second most amount of XP yesterday.
Huh.
In a single day. Oh, that's funny.
Someone said the sign-up was broken, and so I tested it, and it's working, so I'm entered.
Yeah, that's every time you sign up, it's when someone says it's broken, right? And then you end up doing really well in it unintentionally. You should sign it more often.
Oh, that's great. That's the story of the week.
You learn something new
anyways,
every day.
Yes, that's another quote. Good job.
Well, it's a better quote. Ooh. It's one that actually is real and applies. Anyhow, to
all right.
Achievements of the week.
First up, a div with 99 strength on the 24th. Congratulations to you.
And both Jin Azek and Sorensen 57 got 99 constitution in the past week. Sorensen on the 19th, and Jin Azek on the 21st. So congratulations to all three of you.
Good job on the achievements, everyone, this week. Last week we only had one, this week we have three. I'm proud of that.
Oh, that's good.
Yep. And this is another thing that will be hurt by the free-to-play move, because we don't have free-to-play high scores anymore, and we use the RSBNB high scores for this.
Well, I'm doubting many people get 99s in free-to-play.
Well, didn't you almost get a 99 there, Carla?
I'm up to 90 strength, and I was pretty close to getting 90 in attack, so it's definitely doable.
Yep. Alrighty then. Just a reminder that we are heading into December as of next week, so that means we're ramping up for the clip show and all the usual fun end-of-year festivities. So if you have a funny moment you want to share, like maybe something here, like our full circle discussion, fill out this little form with the episode number, what it was about, and if you know the exact time code, that would be great, but you don't need that. Just tell us what it was. And please do include your forum name or RS name so we can give you credit if we use your suggestion. So please send us in clips. The best clips are often found by the listeners. I have a list myself, but sometimes they're just what I perceive as funny and nobody else tells me what to use as clips. So it'd be nice if it was a team effort.
Yeah. I'd have to listen to more episodes.
I remember you should. 2 years ago. 2 years ago I listened to like half of them in that year. Submitted about 10 of them. But
you don't have to do that this year if you don't want to. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have the time to do it. I had a lot more time on my hands after I graduated from high school and hadn't gotten a job yet. Way more time
okay.
For video gaming. Those were the days.
So does somebody have a pick for us this week?
Do you have one, Mike?
If you have one, go ahead.
If you have one, go ahead. You're never on.
Yeah, that's why I wanted him to do one.
All
go
right.
Ahead with yours.
Okay, mine's a show, and it's called Louie.
Okay.
Bluey?
Yeah. It's a comedy show. Not a sitcom. But it's based loosely on Louis C.K.'s life. Basically, it's about how much his life sucks, I guess. But he has, he's a comedian in the show as well. And he does some stand-up, and I don't know, it's pretty funny.
Okay. Is this the Bluey that is an Australian series made by Crawford Productions for the Seven Network in 1976?
No, it's Louie, like with an L.
Oh, I thought you said Bluey.
No.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Louie.
Gotcha.
That's the name of the show.
Louie. Ah, yes, Louie. Louie is an American TV series on the FX network that began airing in 2010. Okay. All right,
Louis
then.
C.K. is really funny.
It has two seasons, and there's going to be another
one. Is it my type of comedy?
Probably not.
Any type of comedy isn't Shane's type of comedy.
Actually, I wouldn't recommend you watch The Big Bang Theory either. Even though I gave it to you, but it's
that's the second
not,
person. That's the second person.
It's probably not something you enjoy.
Watch it until you don't like it anymore, and then yeah, that's what I'd say. Start at the beginning, and then
okay. Watch
until you find it become too inappropriate for you.
Inappropriate as it goes on, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. That's what I've been told. Cully, you remember that word I mentioned to you a week or so ago, Schadenfreude? I guess that's my favorite type of comedy.
Schadenfreude.
Yes.
What type is that?
Shane's just that type of person. Schadenfreude is basically pleasure derived from the misfortune of others. It's basically hard to explain. It's hard to translate, but that's a German word. Basically, Shan's a fan of fail blog in that case.
Yes, like that kind of stuff.
People hurt each other or hurt themselves.
He's a fan of, what's that, the iPhone typo site. You always send me links to it.
Oh, what? Damn you autocorrect or F
yes.
you autocorrect?
Anyways, yeah, so that's just a little slight diversion there. But we kind of got off the track. But Louis, watch mm-hmm. Louis as per Mike's recommendation. Is it still being produced?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
and you
actually,
recommend I not watch it?
Yeah. Probably.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything else to say about Louis?
Definitely don't look into George Carlin either, in that case.
No, I don't have anything else to say about it.
No, me neither.
Alrighty then. Thank you for the pick. Alright, what have we been doing? I'll let Mike go first, since he's the guest on this show. So explain to us what you've been up to this week and what the world has come to and what you've unleashed on the world and how
world
it's going
to
make the world better.
I don't know about that.
Mike, you unleashed Shane upon us. That was a good thing, though.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, so this week was the release of the equipment calculator, which is first project that we've completed, basically, with the content crew.
Yay!
Yeah.
It's a very nice front end to a massive database of items and equipment. I give you double applause, double snaps, double whatever you want to your work on the front end for that.
Oh, thanks.
It looks really, really good.
Most of the work was done by the content crew collecting the information, though, for it.
Yes, that is, of course, something that should be mentioned. Countless hours they had to spend delving through RuneScape items and whatnot to get little things like weight and high elk values.
Although most of it was done in the past few months, the past couple of years, actually, we haven't had a release basically because of my poor organization. And
well, no, it's not because of that. It's because you were creating the foundation for what will become the platform to what everything else is built on.
Well, that's true. It was lots of work. And, well, yeah, now that something's released, we'll see a lot more coming sooner.
Yes. Yeah. So,
I actually definitely first started on the equipment calculator in 2005. And I was collecting
remember that
all,
version.
Yeah, I was collecting all the items myself. And then I realized, oh, this is going to take a long time. And then that's when I started working on item database stuff. And forums and stuff for people to enter stuff. And I don't know. It could come out a lot sooner.
But that was creating of the platform and that puts us in. I think we're in a better position now than if we would have released that old one back in 2005 or 2006. You think so?
Yeah, that one was pretty ugly and it was slow too.
Remember how long it took to sort the list of items?
Yeah, that was before like Ajax and everything became popular. So all the equipment was basically stored in the JavaScript file, and then they used quicksort to sort the lists as you wanted.
A multi-dimensional quicksort.
Yeah, it took a while.
We're heading into programming speak now. I think we left the color a little bit behind there.
Oh, I just let you guys reminisce. I love doing it as well. But basically, the gist of it is that it wasn't as good before, but now it's really good.
Yes.
And it still could be better, but...
Oh, I'd say your equipment calculator interface is lickable.
Oh, God.
But we should say where you can actually find this, and I think the short URL is rsbb.ca/e, that's right?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay. rsbb.ca/e.
And if you notice any mistakes or things missing, please post on the forums. Because we have pretty much everything, but there's still bound to be a couple mistakes maybe.
Yeah.
And we're missing cosmetic
items. And if anybody accidentally alks a party hat or a Santa hat, just confirm us what the alchemy value is, please.
Shane, you still have your Santa hat. Why don't you devote it to the goodness
of
science?
No.
No.
No. No.
No. No. No.
Oh, it should also be noted that this has a ranged magic and melee max hit calculator with it.
That's true. The melee max hit formula is a course of Jason. He's been working on it for a long time, I'm guessing.
And you can also save the loadouts, too. So if you have this killer loadout you take to God Wars, you can load it up, save it, and share it with everyone.
Yeah, I think I set the save limit to 50, which is like absolutely ridiculous. I don't think anyone could save that many, but
okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we should mention about it over here?
Special attacks for max hit and stuff, that's coming. That's a lot of work still.
Oh yeah, because there's so many of them, and you know, there's just no easy way of inputting them and querying them dynamically. I think that's the issue, right?
Yeah, And they need to be researched some more.
Ah, okay. Maybe I'll do a bit of that for you. Alrighty then, so that is the equipment calculator. Anything else you want to share? What you've been doing in RuneScape? Any real life stuff?
In RuneScape, I've just been doing whatever, basically, like training all skills. I've been doing the strange rocks, getting those every once in a while. Okay. I've been catching up on quests. I still have quests from 2009 that I haven't done. I used to do them all as soon as they came out, and then for some reason in 2009, 2010, I didn't play very much. Yeah, that's my cat. It's, I don't know why it's meowing.
Oh, I know what that meow means, but we won't talk about that here. Anyways. All right.
No, that's it. So, okay. What are you guys up to?
Kulla, November 22nd. Tell us about that day.
It was a very important day in my life, especially because it was my birthday. So I turned 21
Happy
and started
birthday.
Feeling incredibly old. I still don't feel like I'm 21, but oh well.
Yeah, neither do I. It's okay.
Anyway, it was a pretty quiet day. Spent time with family, and which I hadn't been able to do for a while because I'd been working for quite a few days last week. And I got some more time off this week, so I've been able to relax and have fun and enjoy life a bit more. And doing some more of that tonight and then going out with friends tomorrow. So it's going to turn out to be pretty fun, I'd say. As for computer-based stuff, I've been playing The Witcher, actually, which is a game by CD Projekt.
Which you were playing company. Before you came on the show today.
Yes, which I was. And probably should have stopped playing about 15 minutes sooner. but anyhow, it's a really good RPG game, and kind of like in a medieval sort of fantasy setting. And if you definitely like Dragon Age Origins or even the Elder Scrolls games, it's a good game to play. I'm basically pretending it's Skyrim because I don't want to buy it just yet. So, and I've got too many games to play before I buy any more. But then Steam comes out with a sale to like completely countermand any of my goals that I had.
Have you taken advantage of that at all?
I did get a few on the first day, but I've been trying to abstain since then. yesterday wasn't too interesting, but there's a few games on there. I'd like to get Deus Ex Human Revolution. I think I'd like that game, but I'm concerned that if I get it now and then I don't have time to play it, that it'll probably be less in the Steam Christmas sale. So I'm pondering over the next few hours whether I should get it now or wait for another few months. Other than that, not too much. It's been raining a lot here, and it's been getting colder, so hasn't been too much fun doing things outside recently.
Oh, you're just really complaining with that because it's not that bad.
Oh yeah, it's getting really cold here, guys. Talking to people from Edmonton, where it's colder than the freezer at work. So I should.
Yeah, I think winds today were like 60 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still pretty windy.
At least it's a little bit warmer, but. Yeah.
I'm surprised the power didn't go out, actually.
We've got a pretty reliable grid here, I think.
Doesn't it have to be, though, with all the snow and everything?
Well, you know, it's not. That's not what keeps us warm. It's gas that keeps us warm.
I know that snow
gas
doesn't
furnaces.
Keep it warm, but I mean the power and
I mean,
stuff.
Like, no, we use natural gas for heat.
I wasn't talking about heat, I was talking about electricity. Doesn't it have to be more reliable? Doesn't it have to be more reliable? Like, in case you get storms and stuff?
I don't know. Snow's not very heavy.
Snowstorms until... Yeah.
I guess
not. We don't get, like, ice storms and whatnot, so...
I don't understand how...
We're talking about the weather now.
Snowstorms take out power. Well, I guess if a large branch falls on a power line... But...
Oh, but you guys don't have any trees there?
Actually, we do.
I know.
We do have trees. We have
been in there before.
Okay. Anything else you've been doing?
Not as many trees as we do. It's a veritable rainforest here. What else have I done? Not very much, other than birthday celebrations, working, and trying to find time to play video games. I can't think of any, but I'll probably think of some in a few minutes.
Okay. Alrighty then. And now me. This week, on RuneScape, I finished the Fremenic Province Achievement Diary. So I just got Ardoyan and that little jungle nation there, Karamja, left to do, but those required 93 and 95 summoning, so those are far ways away.
Well, congratulations.
So, I really wasn't that good, because I accidentally used all my lamps on smithing, because I don't know why I did that. I was on cold medicine at the time. I meant to use them on summoning. But that was a little disappointing. But aside from that, just farming and good stuff like that on RuneScape. But this week, I did write that Informer article I promised you, so I did beat my deadline.
Yay! I didn't want to have to give you a strike.
It's basically about... you'll remember a few months back, I wrote about the software engineering process. This is basically how one of my projects fits into that. And it does give pre-release information on what I'm currently working on. And that's a first as well for me. So you head on over to the Informer website and you can see that it's basically detailing the Grand Exchange system, which I hope people will use, because if not, I'm going to be upset. Because it just turned out into a little bit more than I wanted at the beginning and more work. So I hope it's going to be useful. But that's really all I need to talk about this week. So, I think we're done then.
I suppose we are.
Alrighty, so it's been our SPMB update. Once again, we thank you for being here with us, and I hope we'll see you again next week. Sorry for all the anti-American tirades, but it's just been building up this entire week. But next week, I believe Chief Snake will be with me doing the show, so if you have questions for him, start thinking about those. And of course, thank you to Mr. Kinkala here for being on the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And of course, Mike.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was good to have you on the show again, Mike.
Yep. And with that being said, we'll see you all next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.